Hey, Smutters.
Hey there, all you... Well, maybe I shouldn't say cool cats and kittens anymore.
Why?
That woman's weird.
Oh, what should you say now?
Well, you know they found her husband. That the one that supposedly died.
That was alive and well, hiding out.
Can't really blame him, I guess.
Oh.
So how's your week been?
Oh my goodness, it's been a week. How's your week been?
It's not been too bad because the humidity hadn't been that bad. But now, guess what's good news for next week?
What?
Guess what?
What?
Over 100 degrees every day and like 70% humidity. It's going to be hail next week.
I'm going to die next week, y'all. I'll work outside.
Ghost job.
Hashtag ghost jobs. Exactly. Are we right? Yeah, so it's coming out late. It came out last night, and I went to listen to it this morning, and when I did, I almost cried because the audio was just...
I almost cried too, guys, because this was a long-ass story.
It really was. So, you know, Troy at first, he was like, well, you can do it by yourself, because he had to work today. He was like, you can do it by yourself. It'll be fine. And I was like, it won't be fine. So he was like, okay, we'll just do it when I get home. And so I know some had already listened, and I'm so sorry that, because it was such a fantastic story, is why I got so upset. So this is the redo. It's coming out late, and I hope it sounds 100% better.
It better. I'm not redoing it again.
You get what you get and you don't pitch fit. So, last night we were talking about how the news is not really news right now. Like, they're not really telling us anything. They dropped this bombshell on us about...
aliens existing.
Yeah, about aliens existing. And then... you send me something from Fox News about Heidi Klum's daughter in a bikini on a yacht.
Yeah. Way to go, Fox News.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it that she's popular and, you know, she's probably got a lot of fans on social media, stuff like that. I kind of get all that. It's probably, like, gets people to read it. But come on, guys. You're Fox News.
Exactly. But, yeah, I'm just like, what's going on? Like, how do you tell us this? And just leave it at that, you know? Because like I was telling you last night, I figured we would have aliens walking around when...
they may be.
When we first found out about this. And
what if
not
it's
to,
like They Live with Roddy Piper in it, remember?
Oh my gosh, yes. But like, now we're hearing about, where is it where they've got 7-foot aliens ripping people's faces off now?
I don't know.
Like, what is going on? So...
yeah, I thought it would be like the movie Signs.
Yeah, I thought it would be more like that. And instead, it's like not a big deal. Now, maybe the government's already used to this, but this is still new for us, guys. Like, we need more info. Other, like, what are they like? Where are they from? You know, I mean...
our government's probably trying to find a way to tax them.
I don't know. Like, I would really like more information on this. So, maybe get back to us on that one, government. But anyway, so tonight's story.
Tonight's story.
Oh, that was pretty. It's a good one, y'all. It's super scary. We've gone back to our roots, and we're doing a crazy paranormal story, and it has a plot twist at the end, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you're right. It does.
it almost, when we were talking about it last night and the end came, like, I almost cried because I felt bad. So, I almost cry a lot, don't I? Mm-hmm. A little crybaby. Anyway, let's go ahead and get going on this and dive on in.
Dive on in.
Dive on in. So, we are headed back to the 1980s.
Of course.
To talk about...
nothing can ever happen, like, in 2010, and we see a ghost just, like, using a jewel or something.
At least it's not the 1600s.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the Moffat family tonight. They were a regular family from Southern California. their lives were completely turned upside down when a demonic presence decided to live in their home.
Ruh-roh, Raggy.
The demon was there for 7 years. When it finally left, the family made a pact to never talk about it again.
Should have paid rent.
They feared that it would give the demon power to return if they talked about it. Well, it's been 30 years, and one member of the family has decided to... Huh? Yeah.
That's not... No. It's yeah. been longer than that. It happened in 1980. It's been 40 years.
Oh, 40 years. Math. Am I right? They decided to open up and tell their...
47.
I am not 40. Oh, my God. they decided to open up and tell the story. So...
Just make a movie about it.
Really? since Troy said that, I'll go ahead and let y'all in on the surprise. Blumhouse has actually picked up the rights to this story, and they are going to start a series on it. So,
see, I give little Easter eggs throughout.
You do. You kind of spoil it, because that's like the surprise ending. Guess what? Where was I? It all began in a quiet home on Archibald Avenue in Rancho Cucamonga.
Where?
Rancho Cucamonga.
Where in the hell is that?
It's in California.
Oh, okay.
Like 40 miles outside of Los Angeles. Deborah and Bill Jr. were pen pals in the early 80s. They would send each other videotapes of different TV shows. Deborah would send Bill professional wrestling tapes. Basically shows he couldn't watch on the West Coast. Eventually, they began dating and things got serious. Let me fix this.
How serious?
So serious.
But really serious?
So.
Like, want to have baby serious?
Yes. Eventually, she moved to California and the happy couple were married and they moved in with the in-laws. Okay. So fun. So in the neighborhood, three houses sat on the corner, and one was Bill's grandmother, Dominica, who owned the house on like the corner of it. Bill's parents owned the one next to that one, and then Bill had the next one over that he inherited from his aunt when she passed away.
Real close knit family.
Right. Bill lived with his parents because
he was poor.
No, he had a house. Oh. He had a heart condition. And Deborah didn't mind because she loved her in-laws. Now at first I was like, why would they live with his parents? But it was a very serious heart condition and they knew what to do, so he was comfortable with that situation. And if Deborah was fine with it, then live your life. That's what I say. Now, Dominica, Bill's grandmother, started struggling with her health in 1984. They hired a caretaker named Juanita, and she was from Guatemala. She came to Dominica's house every day to make sure she had everything she needed and check up on her and make sure, you know, everything was good with her. And many people actually believe that Juanita practiced Santeria.
You know what I think of when I hear that?
I know exactly what you think of. Sublime.
Yes.
After reading about this and learning about Santeria, I was like, that song makes so much more sense now.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
It was said that Juanita conducted a ritual in the house that opened a door to a paranormal realm. Juanita performed the ritual because she loved her job and wanted to keep it. Because she had a work visa, and as long as Dominica stayed alive, then that meant Juanita could stay in America. So Juanita asked the gods to give Dominica good health. That was what the rituals were for.
The new gods or the old gods?
The old gods and the new. Dominica ended up passing away sometimes later.
She got deported.
No, Dominica's the grandmother.
Well, you said she could stay if so-and-so lived.
Well, I'm about to tell you what happened to her.
Tell me, girl.
The morning after Dominica passed, Bill Sr. and Lena, or Lee, everybody calls her Lee, got a phone call from Juanita next door. She was terrified.
Can they just walk next door to each other and hand them a note or something?
Throw a rock in a window. She was terrified. She said she was being chased by something in the house. Bill and his son, Bill Jr., went over to the house.
So, Bill and his other boy, Bill.
It gets so confusing. Like, I'll even get confused reading this because the names.
Bill and Bill.
Yeah, like, how does that? I could never do that. Like, if, you know, your name's Troy and our son's name was Troy, that would get so crazy, you know? Because neither one of y'all would answer me
or
if I called
for you. Imagine having a kid and then, like, you later get divorced. And then, like, you end up dating somebody with your kid's name. That would be so awful.
That's weird.
Yeah, right?
Has that happened before?
Yes.
Oh.
Caleb.
Oh, okay. There's a glimpse into our life, y'all.
Probably wasn't that much of an age difference.
Anyway, back to the story. God. So Bill and Bill Jr. went over to the house and they were met by Juanita running towards the street with a white glowing orb chasing after her.
Could you imagine seeing that? Like you pull up, like coming down the street and you see someone with her hands up in the air and there's some orb like right behind her.
Yeah. Like, and plus it's like the daytime, right? So yeah. That like you'd expect, I mean, not expect it at night, but seen it in the daytime, like, it wouldn't be as scary. I'd be like, what is going on here? So the orb then shot up in the sky and disappeared. They brought Juanita inside to calm her down. She apologized and told the family she only wanted to help. Later on, a friend picked up Juanita, but before she left, she told Lee. She pulled her to the side and said, "Never go back into that house. There is only evil there." Later on, Bill hired a crew to clean out his mother's house.
Which Bill?
See, this gets so confusing because I think the family's so confusing. Anyway, they found evidence of Juanita's rituals. They saw candles, knives.
Did she bring someone in?
Hey, Juanita?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
So, there's that.
Well, I mean,
we never really went over it, did we? Uh-uh. No, I truly don't think that any of this was Juanita's fault, honestly. But that's just me. I mean,
that's the same thing like with people with Ouija boards. I mean, you play with fire, you might get burned.
You want to know something?
Not really.
I used to play with a Ouija board all the time when I was younger, but I never knew when you were done playing with it, you had to say goodbye. So that's probably why all of our houses are haunted that we move into. Anyway, back to the story again. They found candles, knives, broken rosaries, and animal remains in the corners of the house. Now, I know this sounds bad, but it actually wasn't because, as I said, she was doing the rituals to help Dominica in her health. But the thing is, the family were devout Christians, and to them, it looked really bad. It looked like the dark occult practices to them, which, you know, anybody that's not into that kind of thing, like, I think if I saw something like that, like broken rosaries and animal sacrifice remains, I'd be like, what'd she do in here, you know? But a lot of rituals, you know, asking for help and good health and stuff do involve animal sacrifices. I do not do that. I do not sacrifice animals. I never could ever do that.
Just let them die on their own.
Oh my gosh. The next few years were pretty calm, but by 1987, it seemed like the energy had shifted on the street. They noticed problems in the house that Bill inherited from his aunt. They rented the house out to a man named Danny, but they had one condition: that one of the rooms could be used for Bill's sports collection. They kept the door locked, and every now and then, they would go check on it. Which, I think that's kind of a dick move, you know? If you're going to rent a house, you can't just leave your stuff there, right? I mean, right. I guess you could. It's their house, but still. Anyway, one day they went by and unlocked the room, and all of Bill's bobbleheads were on the floor, shaped in a triangle with an S-shaped tail. Now, obviously, they accused Danny and confronted him. I mean, that's what I would think, too. But Danny swore he had never been in that room or even really touched the doorknob. They didn't believe him at first, but then more strange things started happening, which made them start to believe him.
What's happening?
What's happening? You see, Lee was very religious, and in one of the bedrooms, she had an altar. She had pictures of the saints and religious statues. Lee and her husband would pray there before bed every night. But then clothing would be placed in the hands of the Jesus statue that she had. And objects would appear in the room, like a wallet and a watch, which turned out to belong to their tenant, Danny. But why were these things on the altar? After they returned them, they would find them again. Lee would always return the objects without telling Danny, because obviously Danny would think they're going in his house, stealing obviously. His stuff. It seemed like it was mainly going after Lee and Danny. They realized the objects were being teleported from one house to the other. After a while, Danny had had enough. He gave the family a notice and moved out the very next day. After he left, they went over to clean up the house. They wanted to get it ready for the next tenants to move in. When they walked in the house, they found weird markings on the light switch. Strange shapes were drawn on there with crayon. Deborah inspected the living room, and there was a shelf lined with statues of dogs. She looked behind her for just a split second and turned back around and looked at the shelf. And when she did, all the dogs were facing the wall. That night, they left and locked up. The next day, they came back, and one of the bedroom lamps was found in the living room floor. Ooh. They all knew something wasn't right with the house. Deborah wanted to test whatever was in the house. She went in the kitchen and asked it to move things around, but nothing happened. When she walked in the dining room, the table moved across the floor. She asked the presence to move a picture frame. Nothing. So Deborah and Bill went to the kitchen and decided to wait for a minute. They came back and the frame was sitting on the dining table. They were terrified. They immediately left the house. Bill and Deborah told his parents and Lee what happened. Lee got scared, and Bill Sr. just wanted the house cleaned out. All he wanted to know was, is it cleaned out? Can we get somebody else in there now? You know, just wasn't too concerned with it. Soon they found new tenants, Tom and Michelle. They let them know the house may possibly be haunted, and they were fine with it. And things were great for a few months until Deborah was leaving one day and saw Michelle in the front yard. The side of her face was swollen and had bruises on it. Michelle said Tom had changed since they moved in the house. He was now violent and aggressive. Deborah told Michelle to get help, but Michelle said that she could take care of herself. A week later, Michelle disappeared, and Tom said she left and wasn't coming back, that they broke up. A few weeks later, Tom left the house as well. No one saw them again. So they went to clean the house, but it was already in pristine condition. They had apparently cleaned it as great as they could before they left. The only thing was, though, they were missing a big rug that was in the living room, but they were fine with it because it was an old rug and they just needed to get a new one anyway. After a few days, a man came by the house. He was looking for Tom. And they told the man, they said he left and they hadn't heard from him since. Well, the man then asked if they heard anything about Michelle, and they said no. Michelle's body had been found in a landfill rolled up in an old rug. Nothing? Remember they were missing a rug out of their apartment or their house?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. The Moffitts decided that it was time to sell all three houses. Now, here's the thing. On that, I also saw where it said that Tom had committed suicide as well, and they had found Michelle. They decided not to go to the police about this because they had ties to the mafia. I believe it was Lee's family that was in the mafia. So they had always been told never trust the police. You know, they just cause trouble. As I said, the Moffitts decided it was just time to get rid of the houses. When they decided, Bill found one of the pictures turned backwards on the wall. Strange things happened before they moved. Things would move around the house or even go missing. They ended up buying a new house in 1987 and they started moving their things. On the last day, Lee and Deborah went to grab a few more boxes. They were in Lee's bedroom when they heard an explosion in the kitchen. They ran downstairs and saw all the cupboards had been ripped off the wall. There was wood all over the floor. And then they heard shattering glass. They rushed to the bedroom and saw all the windows had been shattered from the inside. So if it was shattered from the inside, does that mean that the glass would be like mostly outside?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. They left and they just never came back. They moved into their new house and everything was quiet for a while. Bill found a family picture turned around on the mantle, but Lee dismissed it and said that she was dusting and she probably did it while she was dusting. It wasn't long till they realized they were followed to their new home. They would hear screams in the middle of the night. Voices would whisper their names in the dark. Their alarm system would go off for no reason whatsoever. Everything would be turned backwards. Now, I had said this last night, but on American Dad, there was an episode about the apocalypse. And it showed the Antichrist, and he did everything opposite, just to mock God, pretty much. So I feel like that's what's going on with everything being turned around, like the dog statues being turned around facing the wall, the pictures being turned around, even the ones hung on the wall, they would be turned around. And just crazy stuff like that. Do you think that's what was going on?
Probably.
So, a few days later, Lee found a message written on the bathroom mirror. It said, "Talk to me." It was written in soap. Now, I'm not going to lie, they go through some soap in this story because this is how it communicates to him. It writes on the mirrors. So I get in trouble because I'm bad about, you know, when we need soap, it takes me forever to go get soap. I get yelled at about it. So for them to go through that much soap, it kind of makes me sick because I hate that so much. Like, they better be buying some groceries if they're going to pull that shit. So, anyway, as I said, the message on the bathroom mirror said, "Talk to me." Deborah cleaned the mirror. She figured something would write another message soon if she did. So, they all went to Lee and Bill Sr.'s room, and they sat and waited for about 2 minutes. Then Deborah went to check. There was a new message. It said, "No escape." The entity talked more and more, but made it sound like it was protecting the family. It would say, "Bad wire in the attic, danger in room, fire and death, stay away." It even said the name Nene, which is what Lee's late sister called her, making Lee believe the spirit was her sister. The family started to think the entity was trying to trick them. The next message said, "Fools." And then the one after that said, "I hate Lee." Ooh. Bill Sr. yelled out, "Who are you?" The name Prince was written on the mirror. They all believe now. Lee knew she was being targeted, so she reached out to a local church to have the house blessed. A priest arrived, but refused to go inside. He felt a terrible presence. But he forced himself to go in eventually, and he sprinkled a little bit of holy water and said a few words and left as fast as he could. The entity, or Mr. Entity, as they called it, continued to write messages on the mirror. It would write, "I hate Lee," or "Lee die." Eventually, it would start tearing the carpet up, and they found symbols everywhere in the house. They kept seeing a triangle with an S-shaped tail. And when I say they found them, it wasn't written in crayon. Like, it would carve it into the wall. So they had that all over their house. It was even made with baby powder on the floor. Lee's religious altar would get destroyed. She found the head and left arm of her statue of Jesus in the floor. Her pictures of the saints were always thrown down. Bill Sr. and Lee started fighting more and more. One night, when they were going to bed, they got to their room and their bed was torn to shreds. And I showed you that picture of their bed.
Yeah, you got stuff up online too.
Yes, I do. Check Instagram because I put it up last night, y'all. So the bed was torn to shreds. And I also heard that sometimes it would fill their mattress up with water. So they had to keep
like a waterbed.
Kind of, but it wasn't supposed to be. So they would keep a mattress on standby in case it pulled some shit on them. You know what I mean? So they then decided to move downstairs. So by now, the whole family is downstairs. And the second floor is just abandoned. If they tried to go upstairs, it was so hard to breathe up there. The air was so thick. So they never went up there. But Lee was still the target. If the mirror wasn't clean, there would be writing on the wall. So they had to keep that mirror spotless, or it would just take to writing whatever it wanted to say on all the walls. Which, that would piss me off so bad. Then Mr. Entity would steal their clothes and their belongings. Lee would read her Bible for guidance, and then she would see a message on the mirror that said, "God's fairy tale." So Lee started talking to Bill Jr. in Italian, hoping the entity couldn't understand. So Mr. Entity started to write his messages in Italian, letting them know that he always knew. They started looking for paranormal experts. Many of the experts would visit the house, but they would get scared off. The entity loved to taunt them. Eventually, a team of psychics came, but all they said was it was an ancient, powerful entity. But then the violence escalated. It started throwing things at the family, like food. But then it escalated to knives. One morning, Lee went to go sit at the table in her usual chair, getting her cup of coffee. And when she sat down, she felt something sharp scratch against her thigh. She jumped up and a knife had been pushed through the cushion on the underside of the chair. More knives appeared where Lee would sit or lay down. She went to lay in bed one night and six knives were in her bed. Where do you get, can this entity steal forks for us, please? Because we run out of forks like crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, where do they go? So, where was I? Lee was living in fear. The entity always had new ways to terrorize the family. It would make the house smell like feces or rotten food. They would hear footsteps upstairs and knocks and bangs. The birds, the little blackbirds, would crowd the lawn and caw, caw, caw. They would even fly right into closed windows, dying instantly, leaving blood all over the house. Rats started to infest the home. So at this point, you know, I read that they would go downstairs, and when they would start to come, like, to the basement or whatever, they'd start to come upstairs, and the rats would just sit at the top of the stairs and watch. Like, they,
I'd have me a little 22 or a BB gun.
Right? Like, exactly. Like, they weren't scared. They would just sit there and watch every move that was being made. So Deborah decided to go to the mirror and said, please don't let the rats in the house. And the next day, the rats were gone.
The end.
No, that is definitely not the end. So, it started to bring things to the house where, from places that the Moffats had been, like Lake Tahoe, it put a souvenir from Lake Tahoe in the house. If they went out to eat or something, they would find the name tag of the waitress they had that night at the restaurant in their house. They would, you know, if they went to a hotel or whatever, they would see the marks carved into the wall of the hotel. Basically, it was showing them they can't run. Anywhere they go, it's going to be with them. All they were doing now was surviving. That was the only thing. Their health was deteriorating because they never slept. They were on edge constantly. Their anxiety was sky high. So I don't know how they even survived this. Deborah eventually found a shaman named Red Wing. They went to the elder to get permission for Red Wing's help. And when they got permission, the elder said something to Red Wing, and it was translated. And what they said was, you are not who you think you are. Deborah didn't understand, but she would eventually. Red Wing came to the house with another shaman named Fire Panther. They went to the second floor where they could barely breathe. They turned on the lights and started their ritual. They burned sage all through the second floor and in the entrance of the attic. But as the smoke went up to the attic, it would whoosh right back down, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So it wouldn't stay in the attic. They realized where the problem was. Red Wing told Deborah they had to confront the entity, and all three went to the attic. They burned sage and chanted. The insulation slid down the wall and contorted into a face with a horn and deep-set eyes. And then the face disappeared. The group went downstairs, and they all sat down in silence. And then they tried to figure out what they saw. I mean, what would you do?
I don't know.
They realized that Mr. Entity was much stronger than what they thought. They ended up finding a paranormal researcher named Gary Kent. Oh, Gary.
In the Clark.
He offered to stay in the house to observe. Here's the thing. Gary cracks me up. He's just
a goofball.
He's a goofball. Gary comes back and forth in the story. I don't have a minute because really when he comes back, he's like, I just need a place to stay and I'll help you with your ghost. And then he ends up leaving because the ghost hates him. Anyway, so the first day that Gary walked in, he yelled at Mr. Entity and said, show me what you've got. As soon as he did, a book fell from the upstairs banister and nailed him in the head. The entity had a new target. Knives started attacking Gary and his clothes would be shredded. It made fun and taunted him. Like, the entity knew things about Gary. I don't know how, but it would like bring up embarrassing things about him and just make fun of him. So one morning they were all sitting at the breakfast table having coffee and Deborah heard snip, snip, snip. She looked up and saw clumps of Gary's hair falling out. Gary ended up leaving. He wasn't able to help. Which I try to, every time I see that, I try to picture, like, so they can't see the entity, but is he just like, he, and standing behind him with scissors, like cutting pieces of his hair, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it just, it kind of makes me laugh, but it's not funny, because if it happened to me, I'd be so upset. So luckily, another paranormal team wanted to help. Ed and Lorraine Warren. When they arrived, Lorraine walked through the house getting psychic impressions. When she was done, she said, quote, a powerful and ancient demon had made its way into their home. The Warrens came back the next night to perform a ritual. We got a lot of rituals going on in this story.
Mm-hmm.
They all sat in the living room while Ed read a series of prayers. They felt a heavy presence. Bill Sr. slumped forward, his spine curved, and he pulled his arms towards his chest. He stood up and growled like an animal. He moved towards Ed while dragging one foot behind. Ed pulled out a small piece of wood, and it was from the Holy Cross. And when they say that, they're talking about the cross that Jesus was nailed to.
What?
Yeah. Oh, did you not get that when I said it last night?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's the wood that he had. It protected him. Bill snarled and spoke. His voice had changed, and he told Ed he would bite his hand off. He would chew it up and spit it in his face. Bill crept back to his seat. The entity possessed Bill for a few minutes. Lorraine believed the entity was attached to Lee. The Warrens contacted an Episcopal church to help with the issue, but the Moffats didn't feel comfortable because they were Catholic and they were scared they would be excommunicated from the church if an Episcopal priest came to their house. So, the exorcist ended up coming to the house and rang the doorbell and knocked, but they wouldn't allow him inside. So, the Warrens went home. The next day, Ed called and apologized for not being able to help. So the entity went back to terrorizing Lee. Later on, they found Lee locked in the pantry, laying on the floor.
That's what he gets.
Lee's a lady. She had red marks on her neck from where he tried to choke her. Deborah had to do something. She told the entity it would not harm her family, and writing appeared on the wall. It said, I will not touch her child. I will not touch her husband. Lee belongs to me. Her youngest son, Jamie, was safe, and so was Bill Jr. The entity would not stop. It then told a story of a French monastery in the 1600s. A group of monks performed a blood ritual. They captured a nun and planned to sacrifice her. But one of the monks betrayed the group and the nun escaped. Mr. Entity said in a past life, Lee was the nun that escaped. But now he had her back and he was out for blood. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Because it was later revealed that the reason why he hated Gary, the doofus that would always come stay with him, was because in a past life, he was the monk that helped her escape. So, which, that's a lot, you know, from the 1600s, but they're all back together, mm-hmm. you know. But, I don't know. Deborah wanted to find out more. She would ask questions every day, and it would answer. Her main question was, who are you? But every time, she got ignored. Then she went to the bathroom and a new note was left. It said, Lee will die in 10 days. On the morning of the 10th day, Lee woke up with shortness of breath. They rushed her to the hospital. She had pneumonia and congestive heart failure. So Lee was in the hospital for a while. She was in and out of consciousness because of her weak heart. And guess what? They barely heard anything from Mr. Entity. Lee slowly recovered and it was time to come home. But before she left, Lee told Deborah that Mr. Entity would visit her every time she regained consciousness. She would look up and see a black stain creep down the wall and it would get by her bed, but then a body would form. And it was her mom that had passed away, Dominica. Lee believes her mother was protecting her and thinks that she would have died if she didn't. Lee went home but needed an oxygen tank. One night they heard her gasping. The tubes from her tank were cut. After that incident, the family took turns sitting with Lee to protect her. So one night, Bill Sr. woke up screaming. He felt cold metal on his leg and it was a spearhead. Deborah ran to the bathroom. The mirror read, "There must be a blood ritual. Stab Lee in the heart with this spear." Deborah absolutely refused. She took the spearhead to the National History Museum. Two experts said it looked like a ritualistic tool from the Congo, but it looked new, so it was probably used for magic rituals instead. A while later, Deborah met a lady named Evelyn, who told her someone in the family was keeping the demon there. And I found out that Evelyn, she's in the story quite a bit, or a little bit, but she is one of the founders of the Church of Satan.
Really?
Yeah. But she tried to help out the family as much as she could. They performed a ritual to see who it was, and that night, Bill Sr. had convulsions, but later couldn't remember what happened. Evelyn believed this was a demon in the home, and the demon was a prince. He was actually one of the seven princes of hell. Evelyn said it couldn't be removed because Bill Sr. was keeping it there. Deborah said that Ed Warren even said that Bill was the one that he thought was linked to it. They started finding knives sticking in pictures of Lee. So if there was like a picture of Lee hanging up, there was a knife in it. As time went on, Bill Sr. became withdrawn. He lost a lot of weight. He would wake up in the middle of the night. Lee would wake up in the middle of the night to find Bill Sr. sitting on the edge of the bed talking to someone who wasn't there. Then he would stare at her in the dark without saying a word. Needless to say, Lee decided that Bill Sr. was not allowed in their bedroom anymore. She kicked him out fast. But when she did, instead of staying in the downstairs guest room with the rest of the family, he decided to go stay on the second floor, where nobody goes. Later, everyone woke up and found him howling at the moon. Mr. Entity eventually took credit for possessing Bill Sr. One day, Deborah saw Bill Sr. cleaning the mirror in the bathroom. He had been sending messages to Mr. Entity, telling him to do things. So, the entity told Deborah, "This little prick wants me to kill Lee." Deborah was in shock. Also, why is he mad at this? You know, like, he wants Lee dead, but now he's mad that Bill wants Lee dead, you know? Right. So, what is this?
I don't know.
So, here's the thing. It turns out that Lee inherited a lot of money from her family, and her and Bill had separate bank accounts. Now, if Bill Sr. and Lee divorced, he would only get half. But if Lee died, he would get all of it. They ended up sending Bill away for 2 weeks to get a psychological evaluation. While he was gone, so was Mr. Entity. The day came and they went to get Bill Sr. He turned all the blame on Lee. He said that she was an embarrassment, and he told all the doctors that it was Lee causing the problems and not him. Lee told Bill that he was not to stay in that house any longer. So he went and got a suitcase and he left. They ended up getting a divorce. After Bill left, the house felt lighter. The entity was almost non-existent. As a matter of fact, it almost turned nice. It would leave little gifts for the family, like pretty little rocks and pendants. Their old friend Gary came back and needed a place to stay. Mr. Entity loved to terrorize Gary. So, when he woke up one night, he had a shotgun under his pillow. So, basically, the entity's like, kill yourself now. Since Gary was an investigator, he wanted the entity to attach to him. So Deborah asked the entity, and it said, I will not work with an inferior being. Poor Gary. So Gary decided to leave, and things almost got good. In 1992, Deborah went to the mirror and tried one last time. She said, Dad's gone, and he's not coming back. There's no one to keep you here, and no one to feed you the hatred that you crave. It's time for you to leave, Mr. Entity. It replied, please let me stay here.
Aww.
Aww. Gary poor, was... poor demon.
Of hell.
Poor prince of hell. Gary was packing and getting ready to leave. It then asked, why won't you let me stay here? Deborah asked why it wouldn't go with Gary, and it said he's an empty vessel. Eventually, it decided that Gary didn't need him. Gary left, and there was one last message on the mirror, and it said, goodbye, my family.
Aww.
And that was it. But they did talk to Gary some years later, because I'm sure he needed a place to stay or something. And he said the entity was with him for a while, and then he just disappeared. I think, you know, that, or I guess it's a demon. I think the demon just got tired of Gary's shit and left. But it wanted nothing to do with Gary. And there are two books that are absolutely wonderful you must read. One is called A Deadly Haunting, and the other one is called Unwelcome. And I think Unwelcome is written by Deborah Moffat, the one that kept talking to the entity and stuff like that. So they are absolutely wonderful. Look into those. They're, you know, easy to find. Also, Troy spilled the beans. We have...
Call me Kevin.
We have Blumhouse that is going to do a whole series, and I believe they're calling it Mr. Entity or something like that. All about the story of the Moffat family. So I'm so excited about that. But you had brought up last night with the writer's strike that it may take a while.
Outer Banks is delayed.
Is it really?
Yes.
That next season was going to be a good one too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they
watch it for the plot.
Yeah, you do. So they bought all the rights to the story and everything, getting ready for it. So hopefully when all this, the writer's strike and everything ends, it'll be out soon. So I'm for sure going to watch it, because the Moffat family, I'm just obsessed with. And, you know, I'd like to learn more about it. But I hate that at the end where he's like, why won't you let me stay? And all that, you know? It almost makes you feel bad for
What if he
her.
Said it in a devil voice, though? Why won't you let me stay?
Why won't you let me stay?
Would you still feel bad?
No. Okay. And then if it's like saying goodbye, my family, what if it's like...
Or what if it was like, hey, y'all, I'm staying.
I would love that. But yeah, goodbye, my family. Maybe it means you're mine. You know, my family. Like, I don't take it that way. I feel like it was sad to leave. Plus,
it's a demon.
It was, well, also, it was Bill Sr. forcing it to do all that crazy stuff.
Bill and Bill.
So, anyway, now I had another article I was going to read, but it's about as long as the story was that I read tonight. We're not reading it. But it was from the daughter's point of view when she was a little girl when all this was going on. And it turns out that she didn't know any of it was going on. She finally asked later on what happened, and because nobody talked about it, so she finally learned the truth about what was going on with the family and all that. So, and parents are good at that, you know, like really good. I remember, like, when I was little, and this may be TMI, but if my mom and stepdad were fighting, she'd pick me up from school and she'd be like, "We're having a girls' night and staying at the hotel and going swimming." And I'd think it was like the best thing ever, and it was because they were fighting, you know? Like, parents are good at stuff like that. They can always cover stuff up, you know? So, anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed it, and I'm sorry that it came out so late, but hopefully the sound quality is a lot better. Check out those pictures on Instagram at Supernatural Smut Podcast. If you have any ideas, send us an email at supernaturalsmut1@gmail.com, and we will get that story rolling for you. Do you have anything you need to say?
No, I'm pretty good.
You good? All right, next week we're going to have another awesome haunting story. Well, not awesome, but scary haunting story. Y'all stick with us and drink lots of water and make good choices, and we will see y'all then.
Bye.
Bye.